We're on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, and we're going to start with the Boy Lehu. This is in the not the widest lines on the bottom, but the next to the widest lines, the second line. Iboy Lehu. The Gemara has a suffix, Tainis Tzibur Bekama. How many kruim are there on a Tainis Tzibur? Is it four or is it three? The Mishnah gave us a klal that a day that has Musaf, and it's not a yontif, we call up four aliyos. Rosh Chodesh u'moed, that applies to Rosh Chodesh and Moed, because the Kekovim Musaf, and therefore we call up Arba. Aval Hochabad here, in the case of a Tainis, the Lekha Kekovim Musaf, right, there's no Kekovim Musaf on a Tainis Tzibur, it's basically a day of Chol, is low. We should call up three people like we do on a Monday, a Thursday, Shabbos afternoon. Oh, Dilma, what's the tzad to say that a Tainis Tzibur requires four kruim? Dilma, perhaps, Hachinami Ika Musaf Tefillah. Now, in a Tainis Tzibur, we add to the Tefillah. And that's the bracha called Anenu that we add in the Shmona Esrei, as Rashi points out here. On a Tainis Tzibur, Shacharis, and a Mincha, the Shatz will add Anenu Bein Goel L'Rofe. The Yochid, in his own Shtila, Shmon Esrei Hill, add Anenu in Mincha in Shomea Tefillah. And all this is codified in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramban, Aruch Haim Tovkuf Samach Hey. So since there's an extra bracha or an extra tefillah on a Tainis Tzibur, therefore it has a status of musaf, like a musaf, and therefore we should call up four kruim. Tashma, let's bring a proof from our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, Berashi Chadash B'chol Shalom Karen Arba, we only call up four on these 2 days, Habetainis Tzibur Shlosha. So Gemara says that's a proof for the Reisha, but Ema, that's a proof for the Sefer, but Ema Reisha. It says in the Reisha, B'sheni B'chamishu B'shabbos B'milcha Karen Shlosha, implying that these are the only three occasions in which we call up Shlosha, Habetainis Tzibur Arba. So there's no proof from our Mishnah. In other words, the Deek of the Reisha, the Deek of the Sefer, Diyukim Sosrim, and therefore the case of Tainis Tzibur sort of falls between the cracks, and we're not sure if it belongs to the list of days on which we call up three kruim, or to the list of days on which we call up four kruim. Tashma. So the Gemara says, let's tell a story about Rav. This is where we stopped yesterday, and see if we can derive any conclusions from this story. Rav Ikla LeBavel. Now, some say that Bavel is here, not Bavel as a country, Babylonia, but it's the name of a city that was in Bavel. And that's where, that city, that's where this story took place. It was Yom Tainis. It was a Tainis Tzibur. Come, Rav got up, Kara B'Sifra, and he read the Sefer Torah in front of the Tzibur, Pasach Baruch. He himself made a bracha, Berachas HaTorah Lefaneha, before the Kriya, Chasim, but he finished the Kriya, Velo Baruch. And he did not recite a bracha following the Kriya, which is a very strange kind of phenomenon, that he would make a bracha lefaneha, but not a bracha lachreha. Well, if Rav got the first aliyah, that could make sense, that would reflect the Mishnah's minhag. But if he got the last aliyah, because he was a Yisrael and a Kohen, then why would he make a bracha lefaneha, not a bracha lachreha? So that's going to be the sugya. Nafal kuli alma a'an paihu. The entire kahal did the filas apayim, tachnun, v'rav lo nafal apayim. That's going to be the sugi that we want to cover today. Why Rav was not nofel al ponov? Because every day at Shacharis and Mincha, after Chazaras HaShatz, we have Nefilas HaPayim. That's the special tachnunim of the entire tzibur called Nefilas HaPayim. And this is called Tachnun in our language, otherwise known as the Tefillah Sapayim. And at the time of the Gemara, they used to fall on their face on the ground, prostrate themselves. The Gemara is going to tell us that Rav in the city of Bavel didn't do so. He recited the Tachnun, but without the Tefillah Sapayim. And that's what we're going to see as we go along in the Sugya Be'ezer Hashem. Now, the Gemara asks the following question. Michti. Let's analyze this. Rav B'Yisrael, Kar Rav was not a Kohen, so he got the last Aliyah. Is my time of Chasam Velo Baruch? Why would he make a Bracha after the Kriya? Even at the time of the Mishnah, which advocates that the middle of Korim did not make a Bracha Lefaneh, but the last Korim, sorry, the last Aliyah certainly makes a Bracha Achreha. It must be because even though he got Shlishi, there was going to be a Revi. And he relied on the Revi, that the Revi would do the Chasima, as it's as reflected by the Mishnah. So basically, we prove from this story of Rav that on a tiny sea we call up not three Aliyahs, but four Aliyahs. No, Gemara rejects this proof. Rav Bekahani Kara. Rav was called up as a Kohen. Again, even though he himself was not a Kohen, but there is a halacha of an Adam Gadol that you can call him up even if there is a Kohen, and he gets the first Aliyah. The Harav, Rav Huda Kari B'Kahani, we find that Rav Huda, who was a Yisrael, he was going to get the first Aliyah, even though they were Kohanim, because he was the Adam Gadol, he was the Gadol Adar. So to Rav, who was the Rebbe of Rav Huda, he could read Rishon, he get called up for the first Aliyah of the Torah because of his Cheshivas as the Talmud Chacham, as the Gadol Adar, and therefore it's very possible that there were only three Aliyos. Now again, if there are three Aliyos, it makes sense that if Rav was reflecting the Mishnah that the Posach makes a Bracha, and only the last Kore makes a Bracha Lachreha. So that's exactly what Rav did. He made the Bracha Lefaneha. He did not make a Bracha as the Chasima. But now the Gemara wants to know, is it true that Rav was the Gadol Adar, such that he could be called up for the first Aliyah? Bishleim Rav Huda, Kari B'Kahani, Rav Huda would get Kohen. And that's, even though he wasn't the Kohen, that's because he was the Gadol Adar, and I'll prove it to you. Afilu Rav Ami Varvasi, the other giants of that generation, the Kahani Chashiva D'Arad Yisrael, they were the most important Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, but Mechav Kaifile, they were Kofuf to Rav Huda, they accepted him as his Morus, his authority. They subjugated themselves, considered themselves secondary to Rav Huda. And therefore, surely Rav Huda was the Gadol Adar. But Rav, El Rav Ha'ika Shmuel was a Kohen, Kahana Hava, Udivarale, and Rav considered Shmuel to be greater than he was, so to speak. He gave Shmuel the covenant, and he would let Shmuel go first. So since there was a Kohen, again, he wasn't necessarily present at that particular occasion, but since it was a Kohen, therefore Rav could not be called up for the first Aliyah. The Gemara says, no. Shmuel Nami Mechiv Havi Kaifle. Rav was the Gadol Adar, and Shmuel was Kofuf to Rav. Rav who Da'avile Kovet. Rav gave a special Kovet to Shmuel, and he was Mechavid him. And again, let's just mention here a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Ches. The Gemara tells us that one time Rav was Mekal Shmuel that Shmuel should not have children, and as part of the procedure or the process of pius, of trying to pacify and gain Mechila from Shmuel, Rav gave Shmuel the covid, and he always let him go first, even though Rav was Gadol, he was greater than Shmuel. Now we should also mention here a Gemara in Gittin on Daf Nun Tesom in Beis, and that means the following: if you have a Yisrael who is the Gadol in that Beis Knesses, does he get Rishon? And can we substitute him for the Kohen? So the din is like this. Even if he's the greatest in that Beis Knesses, he will not get Rishon. If there's another Kohen around who's greater than him in the city itself. Now, with regard to the Gemara Gittin, it seems that there's a special din of Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos in Yontif, when the community, the shul is packed, the community at large comes out to daven, and we want to avoid meriva. We do everything that we can to try to keep the peace. On Sheni v'Chamishi, you could be machdim Yisrael as a Talmud Chacham, even if he's not the greatest, even maybe there is a greater Kohen somewhere in the city. And that seems to be a contradiction to our sugya here. But unless we assume that a Tainus Tzibra has the same status as Shabbos and Yontif, because the entire community comes to Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara asks, there was no heter yet to be makdiv Rav as Yisrael, because there's someone who's muflag b'mena b'chachma. The Gemara thought that Shmuel was greater than Rav. The Gemara says, no, Rav gave kavod to Shmuel, but Rav was greater, and Shmuel was indeed kavod to Rav. So the Gemara is still pressing for the possibility that Rav got the first aliyah. V'chi Ovid Leh, the Gemara says, b'fonov, Rav gave kavod when Shmuel was available, was present, aval, shalom b'fonov lo Ovid Leh, he didn't give him kavod when Shmuel was absent. So Shmuel was not there in the city of Bavel at the time of this particular episode, so Rav allowed them to give him the first aliyah, so he was bimkom kohen, so to speak, and he was considered the god, and because he's the god of Adar, and Shmuel was not present, therefore they called him up as first. The Gemara says, "Hochinam mistabra de Rav b'kahani kara." It's mistabra that Rav got the aliyah of the kohen. Disal kedaitach b'Yisrael kara. If he got shlishi, is lefaneh my time of baruch? Why would he make the bracha lefaneh? And if you'll say liacharat takona, maybe the story of Rav took place after they made a takona that every ola should be mevarach before his kriya. Ihachi liacharat navi levarach. He should have made a bracha after his chasima. So therefore the Gemara is pushing for the interpretation of the story that Rav got the first aliyah. So Gemara says, no, shiny hecha de Yosef Rav to be ayel aile. In the case where Rav was there, and that maisa shahoya, and the ayel aile, the people would come into the Beis Knesses, and some people would come late, and therefore mefik lo nafki. This is on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara now suggests the following: that people might come late to the Beis HaKnesses at the time of Rav, but they wouldn't leave before the end of the tefillah because of Kvodo Shel Rav, and therefore everyone certainly heard the bracha of the last Oleh Li'achar Kriyaso. Therefore, before his Kriya, Rav made a bracha because of Gzeres HaNichnasim. But Lachrei, he didn't make a bracha because he certainly thought that they would hear the bracha Lachrei at the end of Kriyas HaTorah. So basically, as the bottom line, as we said, is that there's no raya from this maisa. We don't know if Rav got the first aliyah bimkom kohen, or perhaps he got shlishi and there was a revi afterwards. So it is possible that Rav got the first aliyah bimkom kohen, but and therefore there's no full proof conclusion to be drawn that there were four kruim. So now the Gemara wants to bring another proof as to how many kruim there are on the Tainus Tzibra. Tashma, we have the following brice: Zeh klal kol sheyesh bo bitul melacha li'am kigon Tainus Tzibra tishav of korin shlosha. In other words, when it's a day of heter melacha, then we call up three. And the brice explicitly mentions Tainus Tzibra and Tisha B'Av. So we call up three people. Yom she'ein bo bitul melacha lam could go Rosh Chodesh v'chol shel moed. There's a little bit of an isur melacha these days. Is korin arba shvaminus. So this is quite clear that the Braisa maintains that on a tiny seam we call up three people and not four. Om Ravashi. Ravashi says, I'm not going to accept that horah, that div, because hanan lo tnan hachi. We have a Mishnah, and I'd rather prove something conclusive from a Mishnah than rely on a braisa. Mishnah has a zeklal, which is always coming as a ribui. Zeklal kol sheyesh bo musaf v'eino yontiv koriyim arba. So what's the zeklal coming to add? Lasuye mai lav lasuye tani sibra tishva. Apparently, the ribui here, the mishnah of zeklal, is to include in the halacha four kruim, tainus sibur and tishabav, because of the bracha neinu, that there's a like a musaf kind of addition, and therefore the day is singled out for four kruim. So the Gemara now asks Akasha on Ravashi and his understanding of that mishnah. Ravashi masnisin mani. I'm going to quote to you a braisa with a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, and you're going to find that our Mishnah does not shtim. It cannot be reconciled neither with the Tanakhama nor with Rabbi Yossi. Lo Tanakhama, lo Rabbi Yossi. The Sanya, we learned in a braisa chal. We're talking about Tisha B'Av Lios b'Sheni u'b'Chamishi. If Tisha B'Av falls on a Monday or a Thursday, according to this braisa, korim shlosha, we're going to call up three aliyahs, as we do on any sheni v'chamishi, maftu b'echad, and then there's going to be a maftu in the navi, the haftorah, of one of the three, meaning the last of the three will read the haftorah. And in a case where Tisha B'Av falls on a shlishi revi, in other words, these are days where there is no Kriyasat Torah, then according to Tanakhama, Kore Echad Umaftir Echad, there's only one Aliyah. In other words, if we're not reading the Torah because of the general Takona, the enactment of Kriyasat Torah, but rather we're only reading it because it is Tisha B'Av, so we want to minimize the amount of Kruim on a Tisha B'Av, and therefore we call up only one Kore. Rav Yossi Omer Li'olam, even if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shlishi Revi, Kore Shloshom after Echad. So we have the standard, and we call up three people with one Maftir. Now, according to Rav Ashi, our Mishnah holds that on Tisha B'Av we call four Aliyahs, because of the Mosaf Tefillah. Now, according to that understanding of Rav Ashi, neither of these two opinions, the Tanakhama or Rabbi Yossi and the Braisa, are reflected here, because they both agree that the maximum number of kruim on Tisha B'Av is three. It could be, according to Tanakhama, you reduce it down to one if it's Shlishi V'Revi. So basically we have no shita in the Braisa that could be reconciled with our Mishnah according to Rav Ashi. Now, getting back to the Tanakhama on Shlishi and Revi, and the same thing would apply on Rishon HaShishi, where there's no special Kriyasat Torah, so now it's Tisha B'Av, so there was no Takana going to the Tanakhama of Shlosha Kruim. One Koroi is enough. Maybe it's because of the Issur Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. On Sheni V'Chamishi, we're not going to upset the standard Kriya for those days, even though it's Tisha B'Av. And there are three aliyahs. So that's the takona of Ezra. So therefore, even on Tisha B'Av, we're going to call up three aliyos kisiduro shalyon. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says that li'ola, we always have a minimum of three kruim, whether it's keneged Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, whether it's keneged Kohen Levi'im Yisraelim. It's an absolute requirement, a minimum of three kruim. So again, so we have machlokas now between these two Tanoim, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yossi, the Braisa about Tisha B'Av, when it coincides with days that don't normally have Kriyasat Torah, do we call three Kruim or one Koroi? But everybody agrees that the maximum number of Kruim on Tisha B'Av is three. Whereas Rav Ashi understood from our Mishnah that we call up four. V'ela. So now what are we going to do? We're going to reject Rav Ashi's understanding of the Mishnah. It's Kasha Zaklal. What are we going to do with the Zaklal? So the Gemara says, lo. This is not coming Lasuye Rosh Chodesh. This klal is coming Lasuye Rosh Chodesh Uboed. That on these days we call four kruim. So the Gemara immediately asks the following question: Habehedja Katonile. The Mishnah itself says, "Beroshi Chodesh Uboed Korin Arvo." Why do we need a klal Lasuye? Might just to repeat what we know explicitly in the Mishnah. And the Gemara answers, Simona the Alma Yohiv, that the Kavonia, the intention was to give us a Simon, a way of remembering something, a mnemonic device, as we call it, that on these days we call up for Kruim. Notice he's not coming to add any other days to Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, but rather some sort of a way of helping us remember this klal. The low table, because we might say yontif v'chol shemot ki adadi ninu, that maybe even on yontif we should call four people, because it's like chol shemot. The chol shemot and yontif are one entity. Ella, but rather remember this klal. The kot hai klol biyadecha called it tfei the tafile milsumi chavre. Tafile Gavri Yisera. Whenever a certain day has something in addition to the previous day on your list, we got to add another Karun. Hilkoth, therefore, Rosh Chodesh Uboi De'ika Karban Musaf. So these 2 days have something in addition to a regular day of Chol Karun Arbo, we jack it up by one. Yontif, which has more than just the Karban Musaf, but also Asis Malkh, which generates a full-fledged Kedush Sayom with Yisra Malach, is Chambisha. So we add one to the Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh Kriya, and we jack it up from 4 to 5. Yom HaKippurim, which is even a greater Kedusha Sayom, Dionish Karus, Kares, if you do Malacha on Yom Kippur, it's not just the Nisa Malkus like Yontem, but rather it generates Kares, is there for Shisha, we have to jack it up from 5 to 6. Shabbos, the Ika Isa Skila, is Shiva. Shabbos has the greatest Kiddush Sayom, and it generates a Chiyuv Skila, and therefore we have to jack it up from 6 to 7. So this is the Simon that we get from the Mishnah of the Zaklal, which is not only a memory device, but also gives us a grasp and a hold on what's going on over here. What is the general rule that governs how many kruim we should have? And this simon is like a simon v'tam, that why do we add kruim? In order to emphasize the upgrade in kedusha, the scale that climbs up the ladder from one level of kedusha to the higher level of kedusha, till we finally get to the highest level of kedusha of Shabbos. Again, the Gemara could have pointed out here that although on yontif there's isa malach, but it doesn't have the same level of Isur Malacha as Yom Kippur, because on Yontif there's a Heter Malechas Ochel Nefesh, which doesn't apply to Yom Kippur. Maybe the Gemara holds that there is a Heter Ochel Nefesh in Yom Kippur, just it's not Lamaisa, because you can't eat on Yom Kippur. So you can eat on Yom Kippur like a Chola. The Netziv Bivaloshin has a whole Shtickle Torah. This, there would not be an Isur Malacha of Bishul and the like. Fine. Now we get to the other part of the story of Rav. Gufa, let's go back to the story. Rav Ikel above Matanis Sibu Kovu Kar Basim Pasach Barich Chasim Velo Barich Nafal Kuliyama on Payu Varav Lo Nafal on Payu. So the whole Tzibur fell the Filas Apayim Tachnun, and Rav refrained from doing so. My timer, Rav Lo Nafal Ape. Why is it that Rav refused to be Nofel al Apov? And at this point, the Gemara doesn't think it has anything to do with the fact that it was a Tainus Tzibur. Later on, that factor is going to play in. Ritzvah shel Avonim Haisa. The floor of that base Knesset in Bavel was a stone floor. The Tanya have a Braisa. The Braisa is expounding on a Pasuk of Vayikra Chavav. The Evan Maskis lo titnu bi'artzachem lishtachavos aleha. The Torah prohibits us from bowing down on a Ritzvas Avonim on a stone floor. That's only allowed in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what it means when it says Be'artzachem. It says Oleha Iyato Mishtachave Be'artzachem. Be'artzachem means Chutz LeBeis HaMikdash. Aval Ata Mishtachave Al Ritzvas Avonim Shel Beis HaMikdash. So it's kind of like an Iser that emanates from a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to be mishtachave on the Ritzvas Avonim and Beis HaMikdash. Now the Torah gives us a losaseh that we're not allowed to be mishtachave on the Ritzvas Avonim outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now the word maskis here in this pasuk is a lashon of kisui, like schach. If you take a look in Shmos on the Gimel Pasuk of Beis, Eved maskis means a Ritzvas Avonim hamachases akarka. That's Rashi over there in Shmos. Now some say the word maskis is miloshon schia, which means habata, like Sarah's called yiska, that she sees Baruch HaKodesh. And here the pasuk means to tell you that these avonim had beautiful artwork that was mitsuyar, that was painted into the stones, and that includes the avni gazit that were Migurarot b'magrefa, and therefore it's considered something beautiful to behold. Maskis miloshon schir. In any event, when the Torah formulates this isur ba'artzachem, what do we learn from this? Kina ula, as ula says, yomrulo osra Torah l'ritzvah shalamonim vilvad. That this Isur Ba'artzachem Chutz LeMikdash only applies to an Eved Maskis, which means a stone floor. So the Torah is not coming to Aser an Eved Maskis for Avodah Zarah. We could have understood that from the Reish of the Pasuk. It says, Lo Sasu Lachem Elilim U'Pesel Matzeva Lo Sakimu Lachem. Because it's impossible to say we talk about an Eved Maskis for Avodah Zarah, because in Mikdash we have a mitzvah here of Eved Maskis. Lo tartzu, lo tas, lo titnu bi'artzachem. That's probably Artzachem. So it must be that we're not talking about an Isur Shtachava of Avodah Zarah, but rather an Isur Shtachava Lashem in a Beis HaKnesses, but it's Al Gabi Ritzvah Savonin. And in a sense, we're trying to duplicate the Mikdash, and that we're not allowed to do. The Torah prohibits that. And the Isur HaShtachva only applies when he has a Ritzpas Avonim. Now, his Kavon is L'Shem Shamayim. But nevertheless, it's a Ritzpas Avonim. The Torah prohibited doing this. Rav, of course, was inhibited because in that base Knesset, the Ritzvah was a Ritzvah Savonim, and therefore he did not do his Nefil Sapayim on that Ritzvah. Again, the Gemara is about to ask, what about the rest of the Kohol? They weren't bothered by this. In any event, the reason for the Isur of Eved Maskis is that we cannot duplicate the Migdash. It's kind of like the Isur that we have in Shmos Perakhof about creating a Dmus of Kruvim outside the Migdash. Well, many other Isurim that applied not to imitate the Mikdash outside the Mikdash. However, the Rambam in Hilchas Akum explains that the Torah prohibited this kind of Avodas Hashem Chutz LeMikdash because it was the bidding of Ovdei Kochavim to be Mishtachve on an Evan LaAvodah Zarah. And that justifies the Kesha, the connection between the Sefer, the Pasuk, and the Reisha, where it says, Lo Sasu Lachem Elilim U'Pesel Matzev Lo Sakimu Lachem. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Mem Tes gives another reason, a third reason, that the Roim, the spectators, should be Choshe, that he's being Mishtachva to the Evan HaMitzuyeres Atzma. We said before that this Evan is an Evan Mitzuyeres, and it has some sort of beautiful designs on it, and people might be thinking that he's bowing down to the designs. So now we have the inhibition of Rav to be mishtachve on this in this base Knesset on that particular time is Tzibur because of the Iser of Evan Evid maskus lo tidnu b'artzecha. Now it's interesting. We're talking about tefilas apayim of tefilas tachta. What about the rest of the tefila? It seems that Rav was mispal in a normal way with the krios and so forth and so on. And the Rambam codifies in Perkei Melachos tefilas all the krios that we have during the Amidah. So it must be that the Isur Shtachavon and Evid Amaskis is only when the face of a person touches the ground. Total prostration. But as far as bowing, like we do B'derech Tefillah, and your head is above the Ritzmas Avonim, obviously, when you bow, that's not a problem. That's not a violation. The truth is that all this is codified in the Tshuva literature. The Kesef Mishnah points this out in Hilchos Akum, the Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Lamed Aleph, Sifkat Mem Aleph. So L'chora, now that we don't have any sort of a minhag of Nefilas Apayim al Aponim, right, we just rest our forehead on the arm. In that case, then the whole Isur of Evid Maskus doesn't apply, because even Evid Maskus only applies with Hishtachava Mamish, which means Pnei Ha'adam Nogos Bekarka. Okay. So the Gemara asks the fine question: Ihachi, if Rav was inhibited, then my area Rav afilu kula nami. The rest of the kol should also prevented themselves from doing the sishtachava. So the Gemara answers: Kami de Rav havoy. Only in the area where Rav was there ritzvah savonim. In other words, the shul was basically, let's say, a wooden floor, except for one particular part, I guess for beauty purposes, that was made up of Avonim, and Rav was stuck there on that particular place, and therefore he prevented himself from doing Ishtachava, because his Ishtachava would have to be on a Ritzpas Avonim. By the way, you know the minhag is on Yom Kippur, we do Ishtachava during the Chazor Sashatz, we place something on the floor, so that our face is not directly on the floor. That might be because of Hishtachaval Avonim, on this Easter of Evid Maskus Lotidnu B'Artzachem. Although, I'm not exactly sure if our Hishtachaval is the same as their Hishtachaval. I mean, that's something that we have to take under advisement. So Gemara asks, V'lezel gabi tzibur v'limpal alape. Rav should have done the field sapayim on the other part of the shul. Let him just walk over a few steps to where the rest of the tzibur is standing. And there he could do the filal apav. Lo by lebitchach tzibura. He knew that people would stand up in his honor if he moved around, and he didn't want to be matriach the tzibur by walking towards them. And we find this throughout Shas that Talmidei Chachomim did not want to impose themselves on others and get that covenant of having them to stand up. Bibai Seima, the Gemara offers another explanation as to why Rav did not do the Tefilas Apayim. And even if we assume that the Ritzvah was not a Ritzvah Savonim, maybe it was covered or it was a wooden floor, Rav Pishut Yadayim Raglayim Havi Ovid, Rav's minog was to do a full prostration, that's called Pishut Yadayim Raglayim, at the time of Tachnun, and Kidaula diomer ulo osra Torah ela pishut yadayim v'raglayim bilvad. So Rav did not do a tefila in that base knesses, because his bidding was to do pishut yadayim v'raglayim, and the rest of the tzibur, even if you assume, so that now we're assuming, I'm sorry, I mentioned that the floor was made of wood. No, the floor is made of stone. And Rav could not do Nefil Sapayim because his Nefil Sapayim was Pishut Yadayim Raglayim, and that's what the Torah prohibits under this law of Hishtachava. However, as far as the rest of the tzibur, they didn't have that minhag of Pishut Yadayim Raglayim. They just did a kind of Nefil Sapayim, and therefore they were allowed to do that even on a Ritzpah Savonim. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, in his Perush al-Torah, Vayikra Chavav, Rashi says you're not allowed to use an Eved Maskis Lehishtachvos Aleha. The Gemara later on is going to clarify exactly what Ishtachava is. And it means complete Pishut Yadai Raglayim of all the Evarim of the goof. So to feel Sapayim and Eved Maskis without Pishut Yadai Raglayim is not included in this Issa because Ishtachava equals Pishut Yadayim Raglayim. Now the Gemara is now assuming, according to this answer, that a partial Hishtachavon of Ritzpah Savonim is okay. And there's not even an Issa Drabonon. It's even Mutul Chatchil, therefore the Tzibah had no problem in the Fil Sapayim because they didn't do a full-fledged Hishtachavon. According to the first answer of the Gemara, Chachavim made a Gzerah and they prohibited the Fil Sapayim on a Ritzpah Savonim even without Pishut Yadai V'Glayim. That's why the Gemara in the first Teretz had to say that it wasn't a Ritzpah Savonim as far as the Tzibah was concerned. It was only a Ritzpah Savonim where Rav was standing. And again, Rav didn't want to move over to the other part of the tzibur because he didn't want to be matriach the tzibur. Now, some say that the chachamim made a gzera that it's also to do pishut yadayim raglayim even on a ritzpas eitz, even if it's not a ritzpas avonim. In other words, there's no heter in the field sapayim unless, number one, there's no pishut yadayim raglayim and it's not a ritzpas havonim. So if you have both conditions, that it's neither pishut yadayim raglayim nor is it a ritzpas havonim, then it's mutul lechatchila. But in pishut yadayim raglayim would be also, even if it was not a ritzpas havonim, that would be an iser derabonon. The Gemara now asks the following kashya: lepol al ape v'lo le'evid pishut yadayim raglayim. Okay, it's true that Rav had a bidding of Pishut Yadayim Raglayim, but in this particular case, in this scenario where there was no possibility of implementing that bidding of Pishut Yadayim Raglayim because it was a Ritzpah Savonim, why didn't he just do a partial, you know, substitute kind of Nefil Sapayim the way the Tzibah was knowing? Lo Mashani Mimin Hagi. Rav didn't want to change his bidding to recite Tachnun without Pishut Yadayim Raglayim, therefore he'd rather do it without Nefil Sapayim at all. So in that shul, where he didn't have the opportunity, for the various reasons that we mentioned, of doing Hishtachavakim in Hagov and Pishut Yadayim Raglayim, he would rather do nothing at all. Just one second, let me just see if I left out something. Oh, okay, so there's a tshuva, the Rivash, as to whether Nefil Sapayim has the gather of a minhag, and it certainly is an ancient minhag, or is it a chova gemura? And basically the shoot of the Rivash says it's a minhag, it's not a chova gemura. Therefore, Rav didn't want to create tircha de sibura by moving from one place for the Ritzvah Savonim to another place, because it's not a chova gemura, it's only a minhag, and he didn't want to change his minhag. Ima is Ema. The Gemara has a whole new approach as to why Rav at that particular moment in that shul in Bavel on a Titus Tzibah did not want to be nofel al ponov in the Beis HaKnesses betfilas Tachnun. And this might have to do with the fact that it was a Titus Tzibah. Adam Choshev Shaini Kid Rabbi Elazar the Omer Rabbi Elazar Ein Adam Choshev Vashoy Lipo al ponov Elim Kain Nan. Okay, we're going to have a whole derivation here from Yeshua ben Nun, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yeshua ben Nun to get up after Yeshua ben Nun was Nofel al Apov. And the reason for this is, what's the objection here to the Filas Apayim? Is an Adam Choshev. With an Adam Choshev, everybody's watching him, and if they see him in a position of the Filas Apayim, of Pishut Yadayim Raglayim, of absolute prostration, as part of his supplication, then they expect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer such a, he would hearken to such a prayer. And if he doesn't hearken such a prayer, that's going to create a kind of a chashash over here. Kidiksiv, ki Yeshua ben Nun dichsiv, vayomer Hashem al Yeshua kumlach, lama zata nofel al panecha. In other words, Hashem is objecting to the fact that Yeshua had a nefilas apayim, a full pishut yadayim raglayim. Now, if an Adam Choshev, Rashi explains, is nofel al apav l'schanin, and then his tefillah was not accepted, the hamon am start schmoozing. They start speaking about him as if he's not roy, and this creates a lack of covet of a talmid chacham. So therefore, if a person is davening in front of the tzibur, then he has to be very inhibited about the filas apayim in the full sense of the filas apayim. Now, it's logical to assume that in the case of a Titus tzibur, especially Rav was the shliach tzibur, that there was a gathering of many people, it was a real public spectacle. And what would happen if an Adam Choshev like Rav would be Mispalel and here with the Tefillas Apayim and Pishut Yadayim Raglayim and he's not Nena, and then Hashem doesn't hearken to his praise, that's going to cause a certain lowering of his honor or his glory in the eyes of the people? Why didn't God respond to his prayers? Now, just to give the story of Yehoshua a little bit of a context, the battle against the city of Ai, you may remember, as a result of the sin of Achan, who was Moel Becherim in Yericho, was a fiasco. And Yehoshua ben Nun was nofel al ponav b'tefillah lifnei Hashem. Hashem, however, says to him, Kum lach. Lo mezaata nofel al ponecha. Chata Yisrael v'gam lachu ben acherim. V'lo yuchlu b'nei Yisrael lachum lifnei oyveihem imlo tashmidu acherim ikir b'chem. So Yehoshua's prayers were not accepted on high. And therefore Hashem tells him it's not good for an Adam Choshev to be nofel al ponav. So this is the way Rashi interprets the sugya. There are other mefarshim that read the Gemara slightly differently. Ein adam choshev rashai lipal ponov elim kein nanek Yehoshua ben Nun. And according to this reading of the Gemara, the raya from Kum Loch in Yehoshua is because it's true that Yehoshua had absolute confidence that Hashem would accept his tefillah. And in fact, Hashem did accept his tefillah as far as the kapar for Am Yisrael, for the chet of Me'ila, the cherem of Yericho. And therefore, Yehoshua was allowed to be nofel al ponav. But again, that's only in Kain Nenek Yehoshua ben Nun. So if you have a situation of an Adam Gol and he knows, I don't know exactly how he would know this, that Hashem would respond and accept his tefillos, then he would be nofel al ponav. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara now wants to classify different types and categories of Ishtachava. First, we start with Kida. That's a pretty dangerous kind of thing, as we'll see, Kida. And Kida is Al Apayim. In other words, just the face goes down. It's a really quite a balancing act here. And Rashi says that Eino Nogeb Oretz, no part of his body actually comes in contact with the ground except for his face. In other words, Eino Nogeb Oretz lo b'birkov lo b'zroosov elamata ponavacher rosho magila Oretz. His head reaches down to the ground. And Hakeid Kida Miskofef Vinoit Shne Agudle Yoda Bakarka. He actually puts his thumbs down on the karka to balance himself, to keep up his weight. Uba Odo Nishan Aleim, while he's leaning and putting all the body weight on his thumbs, he then lowers his face to the floor. Again, this is probably requires a tremendous acrobatics. You have to be a gold medalist here. And then he stands up. There are very few people who are able to do Kida. This is a sugya in Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel of an Aleph. And we'll see how the Gemara demonstrates that, the dangers of Kida in just a minute. Shenema, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Vatikod Basheva Apayim Eretz. So that Vatikod is Kida. And then we have another category called Kriya. Kriya means Al HaBerkayim. He kneels on his knees, and then he places his face on the karka, flat on the karka. That's called kriya. The chedu omer, now he quotes the pasuk there, Melachim Aleph, that says, Vayhika chalos shlomo lispalo, kobi lifnei mizbach Hashem, michroa al birkov. So it's on the knees. Hishtachava, zu pishat yadayim v'glayim, total prostration. All the parts of the body are on the floor. Of course, including his face. Shenemar havo, this is in Bereishis Lamed Zayin, havo navo, anive imecha. This is Yaakov really talking after the dreams of Yosef. So orza means that the entire body is flat on the ground. Now Tosis points out here that these psukim are not absolute proofs. There are other psukim that seem to indicate the opposite. But rather these psukim are being quoted here as definitions or descriptions of kida, kriya, nishtachava. But exactly what was kida, kriya, nishtachava, that the Chacham had a mesoras, that was a tradition that was passed on orally from one generation to the other. The Gemara tells a story now about Levi. Levi achve kida kami de Rebbe. Levi was demonstrating in front of Rebbe how do you do kida, ve'itla, and he became lame, he became a tzolea. As a result, and as we said before, kida is so dangerous, it's so precarious, you have to put your thumbs down to hold up your body as you lower your face on the floor. The rest of your body is pretty much straight, and when you stand up it puts an unbelievable dachaf, an unbelievable pressure on the back part of his body, and perhaps his masnayim, his upper thighs, and this could actually cause a person to become lame, and that's what caused lame to be what's called a chiger, otherwise known in Yiddish as a hinkadinker. So the Gemara asks, Vahaka Garmala, you telling me that this Maisa, when he demonstrated in front of Rebbe what exactly is Kida, that's what caused lame to be Tzolea? We know that there was another cause of Levi to be Tzaveh. But Rebbe Elazar, we all of Yatiach on the Dvar of Klapi Mala. It's very dangerous to say to God, or in front of God, that God, you didn't respond, that you were cruel, and stuff like that. That's called Bimatiach Dvar of Klapi Mala, when you come with tightness against Hashem. Sharei Adam Gadol, and here it's a reference to Levi, he Tiach Dvar of Klapi Mala Ve'itla, he became Tzolea, Manu Levi. Now, what was the story of Levi in this context? He was Yatiach, he was Matiach Dvarim Klapi Mala. So this is a Gemara in Masechta Tainis on Daf Chaf Hey. The Gemara tells us about Levi that there was a Xeras Tainis because of a drought, and the Geshamim did not fall down. So Levi turns to God and he says, Ribono Shel Olam, Elisa, you went high up, Yashavta, and you sat b'morom, somewhere up in the seventh zmul, up on top, and you have no compassion on your children, and the Geshomim started coming down. But because he was Matiach Dvarim Koshim Kapei Mala, he was punished, and he became a Tzolea. So the Gemara answers, Havaha Garmalei, there was a double Gorim, it was Zevezeh Gorim, it was number one that he was Matiach Dvarim, and number two at the time of the Kiva. You know, sometimes you need a physical action that brings it out, although there was a punishment, so to speak, hovering over his head. The Gemara goes on to speak about this prohibition of an Adam Chashev, that he shouldn't be Nofel Al Apav B'tfilas Tachnun Omer Abchia Bar Ovid Chazidel Hu Aisol Le'Abaye. The Rava, that Abaye and Rava, okay, now we're on Daf Chav Gimel and Aleph, Dematzli Atzluye, they were knowing to do a Nitiya on their side at the time of Tachnu. In other words, they didn't do a Nefila, Sapai Mamish. In other words, they were on Oshim Chashuvim, they were in the public eye, and they didn't have permission to do a Nefila Pishut Yadayim Vaglayim, because again, people might think, why weren't their prayers answered? So they just did what we're knowing to Atayas HaRosh and Kisui Ponim, you bend your head and cover your face, and that an other mechashim is allowed to do even publicly in front of the tzibur. So that's where we're going to stop now, and we're up to here Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, the top line about Yontif and Yom Kippur, the various amounts of Kruv that we read on those days. So we'll pick that up with Yitzhak Hashem on Yom Rishon.